birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good.
Ah, it brings back memories. Wow, what a pleasure to hear that song again. What a pleasure to hear me. What a pleasure to be with you and to hear you. My name is Emilio Williams, and I am the host, co-host of the Thursday segment of the Paradise Circle, and I welcome you with all sense of love, peace, and compassion, and look forward to whatever will reveal itself this evening in this close circle. So I'd really love to begin by touching on page 3. I want to start with something a little bit different, and then we'll come back and see the family and who's joined us. And that gives everyone else an opportunity to be grounded and settle in and decide whether they want to come off mute, stay on mute. But this is the Paradise Circle, and welcome to the Paradise Circle. We're a gathering of ordinary people doing shadow work to come to know ourselves and solve everyday problems. Our inquiry is based on the idea that the word is alive and that language is where our power lives. Known as the path of expire, this inquiry is radical as it transmits the courage to hear the soul of perennial truths and fully surrender. Once received, we are in our voice, empowering the now. Each time we honestly engage in this unlearning, the cosmos rejoices. Each time we participate, we renew the understanding that there is only one of us. We thereby increase our capacity to love what is and to sustain the sense of enough. And, wow. So refreshing. What really touches me in this whole piece is that the inquiry is radical as it transmits the courage to hear the soul of perennial truths and fully surrender. And to transmit a courage to hear says a lot because there's oftentimes the sense in the play of the ego and the play of the shadow to refuse to hear. I mean, that takes a lot of courage, and the path of XPR is an inquiry that transmits that courage. And, wow, what a reception. Amazing. And so if this, I'm reading from page 3, and if you don't have a copy of the book in front of you, you really want to go to empoweringnow.com. If you scroll down the center of the page, there is a diagram there. Nice, beautiful star, dead center. Click on it, and it'll take you directly to the link. And just put the phone on mute or your thing on mute and come on back. And in the meanwhile, we're a Paradise Circle. Let's check in with family. My feeling word is very blessed and grateful family, just blessed. And I want to check in with who else is with us this evening. And I know, Maha, you're there. So what would be a feeling word? How would say hello, and what's the feeling word for you?
For me, it is trusting. I'm moved by the energy of trust. And it feels wonderful.
Awesome. Beautiful. And Michael, how about you, Ben?
My word is tired. Had a full day, and I'm kicked back in my chair and I'm allowing myself to feel tired.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. And is there someone else with us that wants to speak or unmute your mic? And I think that was area code 361. Would you want to check in and say hello? And you don't have to.
Can you hear me, Emilio?
Absolutely. Glenn, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. My word is faith.
Hey.
Just having faith that all the chaos in the world is going to work itself out and be okay.
Amen. Amen. Well, Glenn, it's a blessing and a pleasure to have you here. We started off with, was there anyone else? We started off with the word feeling of just being blessed and trusting that no matter how tired we are, we can own that and kick back and allow ourselves the pleasure and the comfort to feel that tiredness and have faith to just know that it's all just as it is supposed to be. I remember a while back when I first became exposed to the path of Expire, that one of the things that was continuously said was that all is written. It's already written. It's written. And we can inquire and understand and become conscious and witness that which is. And so that's where we find ourselves right in this moment. And before I go further, just the page three that I read, was any other one of you have a comment on what touched you about that reading on page three?
What touched me, Emilio, is what you said. The courage to hear the truth. Gee whiz. And not the truth. I mean, to just be willing to hear truth, that changes life. And I have found that what's left of my dishonesty is just because I just don't have the courage to be that honest, that I would really be truth, speak truth, hear truth in every moment. That's what touches me.
Beautiful.
What you said.
Awesome.
What you're having.
You know, it reminds me of a quote in a movie. I don't know who it was. You'll remember it, but it was a statement in there that you can't handle the truth. That was the quote. You can't handle the truth. And sometimes people would say, you know, the truth hurts. And the truth just is. And I really appreciate what you just said about being able to speak the truth, be the truth, hear the truth, do the truth, know, and one. And not just partially. It's sort of like the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And thank you. Thank you. I have been having some amazing experiences in my own life in the past few weeks, and one of the things that has been really releasing for me is to be honest and just speak the truth and do without fear of the repercussions. And I have come to understand the freedom that allows me to do that. And I've also come to understand the pain and the agony of refusing to do that out of fear of rejection, out of fear of hurting, out of fear of hurting someone else. Like I'm responsible for other people. And, wow, you know, just to I will share this with you the next time we're on a call, one-on-one, Maha, but I would just love to be able to share with you what I've learned, what I've experienced, and what's going on. And and it's just, a large part of it is just being honest. And, wow. So, there we go. There we go. And I just speaking of consciousness and everything that's connected, I have, without calling out names or anything, I have two people who have been warring with one another continuously. And in the midst of this big moon and all of the emotions and fighting and bickering back and forth between them, it was no coincidence that one of them woke up and was standing in 2 feet of water in his house, and the other one was standing in a half a foot of water in his home, and both of them had pipes burst in their home. And I was like, wow. You know, there's something about feeling that there's so much to share with you. But anyway, I digress, and it's been a rip, and I'm here, and I'm loving being with you. And I want to go to page 5 real quick first before we get into the agreements. It just seemed natural for me to do that as I was reading the book again. And the reason why is because it's called Expire Foundation. And the foundation is defined as the basis or groundwork of anything, the natural or prepared ground on which something stands. And everything that we're talking about rests upon this particular foundation. And this is on page 5, the order of beloved and foundation. And it shows the numbers 1, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and going in a random way. And the foundation being honesty, the 6 agreements. But I just wanted to start there. And if surrender is the goal, let me take out the if. Surrender is the goal. When I can't fully accept me, you, it, in the now, I use the understandings below to strengthen the foundation of my integrity. Number 1, honesty, where we started, is the cornerstone of communication. I can simply look at the results of my words to see if there is an alignment between what I say I want and what I actually have. When there is an alignment, I am telling the truth. Number 2.
So maybe you could give us an example, Emilio, of how that works for you.
The honesty is I confronted a situation that I've been typically attempting to salvage and play around and hem and haw with. And when I basically said and spoke the truth and said what it was that I needed to say at that particular time from my heart without fear of retaliation or whatever, there was an alignment there, and it felt comfortable. And I walked away at peace, had a great night's sleep, and I saw the reaction, but I'm also now seeing adjustments and change. I confronted something that, without being really specific, because I don't know who listens, in the confidence of what I would share.
But just to give us a simple example, just to make it simple.
That was about as simple as I can.
I am saying I want, what is it that you're saying you want? You know, I want money, I want, what do you want? I want to lose weight, I want.
The example was I wanted people to do their job.
Yeah, but that does, you see, you can't control people. So I want the world to be at peace. Very nice. I want people to do their job. Very nice. But none of that is real. It's all hopeless because you can't control me. You can't control the outside world. So,
right.
You know, what is it that in your personal life, so I say I want to do the job, or I say I won't. What is it that you say you want?
Well, what I said I didn't want was to be manipulated by others' behavior.
So I want to remain true to myself.
Right.
Okay. And do you actually have that? Not letting yourself, like being true to yourself in every situation. Is that what you have?
Well, I can say at this moment I do, but I'm still working through.
Okay. Okay. So is it just to take a simple example? I say I want to lose weight, and the proof is in the pudding. What is it that I actually have? If I have a weight loss, then I'm telling the truth. When I say I want to lose weight, if I don't, then I'm lying. Okay. So for you, you say you want to be true to yourself. What I'm hearing is sometimes you do, sometimes you are, sometimes you are not. Is that correct?
Correct.
So the times that you're not, that's the time you're lying. Okay?
Right.
You're not telling the truth. Because what you actually want is to not be true to yourself, because that's what you have. Does that make sense of how honesty is working here?
Yes, yes.
All right, thank you. So now that we have something specific, and Glenn or anyone else who listened to us, just look at what you want to say. What you're saying you want. I say I want to be fit, to have money, whatever it is. And look at whether you're in alignment or not. If you're not in alignment, then comes number two.
The order of creation helps me track my motion and out of truth. One, to understand I create my reality by way of a belief. Two, that it becomes an emotion. Three, that it turns into an action. Exactly.
Yeah. So, again, give us an example. How would you create your reality by way of a belief? How does it become an emotion? How does it turn into an action?
Well, if I say with the same example that I want to be true to myself and I create my reality by way of belief, that I hold the belief that I couldn't be and true at that time, or that I believe or I shouldn't do something, it could then cause an emotion like anger or attack that comes into attack, where I then go into defending the belief that I have out of my anger and attack, as opposed to allowing it to just be and be true to myself.
Yes. And then when you're angry, what do you do?
Well, that's when it turns into action. Either I'm going to withdraw or I'm going to attack and retaliate,
yep.
Which would then lead me to number three, which is the inquiry, is the courage to reveal the agendas hiding the understanding I seek to receive. When I do, I naturally realign to my intuition. I still need a form of inquiry radical enough to allow me to trust that there is an end to the BS or to the belief system. So an example is the inquiry is the courage to reveal the agendas hiding the understanding that I seek to receive. So if I go back up to number one in honesty, there's potentially an agenda there that was hiding the understanding I seek to receive.
Yeah.
And going through the inquiry with you helped me come to clarity of either, you know, sometimes you are, sometimes I'm not, and the times I'm not telling the truth, and bingo.
Yeah.
And I still need.
And you can just go to the order of creation. I create my reality via a belief. I shouldn't have to be in that situation or whatever is the belief. And then you can inquire on that should.
Right.
You see, if I weren't afraid to be true to myself, then what would happen? So you inquire on your order of creation, on your should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And number four, the geometry, the measure of the earth, fulfills this exact need by giving the code to sense the mind-body connection and embody wisdom in the now. And that is the sense of a code to understand that body follows mind until there's no mind to follow, but there's a connection there that what's happening is happening upstairs, and the body's just following it, keeping me out of the now by projecting either in the future or dwelling in the past and staying away from the now. Number six is sacredness charts the unfolding of numbers in space and time such elegance that it assists me to feel how it is my mind that creates space and time. And that sacredness and that blue of the sacredness is the soul, it's the feeling to come to a place sacredly, to know that the lost piece is the ability to feel, not necessarily think my way through any of it, but to feel how it is and how my mind creates the space and time to continue to keep me locked into a belief that causes an emotion that turns into an action. It becomes a vicious cycle. If I would just sit, wait, and feel, it becomes clear.
And then I'm curious, how does that touch you, Glenn, that foundation? What touches you in what Emilio just did for us?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking.
You're not sure you understand what?
Well, I didn't completely follow what Emilio was saying.
Okay. So would you like an overview?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Glenn, is there a particular part that you didn't understand, or was it the entirety? Where did it stop being clear to you?
Mostly, I'm just really tired, and I just kind of was going in and out listening to you, so I didn't get the main idea you were trying to express. My mind was wandering. I apologize.
That's all right. So, Maha, did you want to give a summary and see if that has brought some alertness for him?
Well, you know, the only thing, Glenn, that really matters here is how honest are you wanting to be with the results of your communication? That is really the bottom line of page 5.
Okay. Well, what touches me there?
So what is it that you say you want?
Well, with me, it's obvious that I don't have what I say that I want.
Yeah, but what do you say you want? Just make it practical, always. What do you say you want?
Probably above everything else is peace of mind.
Okay. So you say you want peace of mind and you don't have it. Is that correct?
Yes.
So we know that you're lying when you say you want peace of mind, because your result is to not have peace of mind. Does that make sense?
I'm not being completely honest, because there is a part of me somewhere that obviously doesn't want peace of mind or I'm ready.
You got it. That's really the keystone of that foundation, is honesty. Okay. From the moment that you get that there's some level of BS in your space, then the next logical move is going to be, okay, I need to go into the subconscious and inquire. In other words, go fish. I need to go where my shell fishness is. Where is it that I'm hiding something in a shell? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you do this work of diving into the subconscious and looking for the limiting beliefs and the agendas and the secrets, then soon enough you're going to see, well, there's no end to this. Is this ever going to end? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So therefore, you need a form of inquiry that can take you beyond doubt. Still with me? Speaking of faith,
yes.
The faith that you can come to the end of the BS. All right?
Right.
All right. So that's where sacred geometry steps in, because Hebrew and the path of XPR is sacred geometry. It has a beginning, it has an end. That's what sacred geometry is. Does that still make sense?
I'm sorry, Ma, you broke up a little bit. I didn't hear everything you just said.
I said that is what the path of XPR is so powerful as a medicine, so potent, because it is based on sacred geometry. And when you look at sacred geometry, it has a beginning and it has an end. Therefore, since Hebrew is geometrical, and since the inquiry is based on geometry, then you can be assured that there is an end to your exploration of the unconscious. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And that's why we work with the created six, which is the geometry on page six and seven. And that's why we have those lines of colors that have six cells. So in just 5 minutes, here is your XPR foundation. So now does that make sense?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Welcome to XPR.
Yeah. And
thank you,
Glenn and Maha. And what's really nice about this, just the touch in terms of as I was reflecting today, to look at this foundation, number six says that there are six agreements here to keep me safe as I engage in shadow work and learn to balance darkness and light. And so the notion of going deep and diving into the selfishness, to dive into the subconscious, to look for the limiting beliefs, to look for the belief system, the BS that I'm really struggling with, the pieces that keep me in the lie and disconnected from saying, let there be light, and there is light, to having what it is I say I want and wanting what I have, takes a lot of work and a lot of courage. And in order to do that, I'm going to go backwards now to page four, because there are some agreements that govern how we do this work, this shadow work, because it is deep. And Michael or Maha, Michael, your voice hasn't been. Would you mind going through the four the agreements on page four?
Sure. So the circle agreements say that the colored lines in this table hold a code, geometrical code, that outlines the stages of a given exploration in consciousness. And the exploration here is playing with shadow play and shadow work, which is defined in the box as an invitation for us to empty our cup and be willing to break it so that we can receive, which is the Hebrew word Kabbalah, which means receive. So we can receive wisdom and power. And toward that end, here are our agreements keep us safe. Number one, permission. I trust us when the dark night of the soul moves me into fight, flight, freak, or freeze. I'm here to risk entering the darkness so as to bring my light, or to bring light, on how misusing power prevents the force from being with me. So does everybody agree with permission for our conversation tonight?
Yes.
Absolutely. Amen.
Yes.
Number two, I own my experience. And each of us is invited to stay present, to look at the idea of owning our experience, especially when I hear the use of you words, and to look at those as marks of my projections. Everyone willing to own their experience tonight? I am.
Yep.
Amen.
Number three is growing pains, and here's where we invite going beyond the default of being comfortable and to invite change and to invite unease. Everyone willing for growing pains tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And my computer just went to sleep, so Emilio or Maha, y'all want to pick up number four and five?
Number four, presence. I do my utmost to stay in my body and not go into a vortex. To stay present right here, right now. Everyone, it's easy to go off in la-la land and get distracted and go someplace else. And, it's really interesting is the golem. It's just thinking back about golem work and how that which I created, that lie that I created, will have me go off someplace else. Like, I'll get tired, I'll get listless. I'll just go off and avoid the whole piece. So our agreement here is to do our utmost to stay in the body and stay right here, right now.
Yep.
Acceptable to everyone?
Yeah, and I also hear that also as an acknowledgement of Glenn, just speaking what you spoke, Glenn. I mean, that's huge presence. Right now I didn't quite catch that. You know what I mean? When you spoke it, what I hear is a willingness to grow and to be present. Thank you for that. I can pick up with five if you'd like, Emilio.
Go ahead.
Confidentiality by request. The vision for our work is to know that there's nothing to ever be ashamed about, and that shame is just light finding its way. So when I can't live with shame, we do have the ability to either stay confident, be silent, or to request confidentiality. Can everyone agree to number five?
Yep.
Amen. Yep. Yeah.
And finally, clearing space. This is important. Check our assumptions. When I think something's off, I'll check. And again, that's an important agreement for doing shadow work. Everybody okay with?
Like Michael, I can hear how tired your voice is. I'm imagining that you'd like to rest this evening. Is it true?
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, I would like to rest this evening.
Yeah, so that would be checking an assumption. I'm noticing blah, blah, blah. I'm imagining blah, blah, blah. Is it true?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Very useful.
And thanks for being honest back to sharing that, Michael, because it was so easy to say, oh, no, I'm fine. And to be with that, to stay honest. And it was like when I asked, are you, Michael, would you mind taking us through there? It was like I pulled you off the couch. It was like, it's like, okay. But it's still, thanks for being honest.
Well, amen. I recognize that I'm here owning my experience. I spoke up front that I'm tired, which at least had to be honest about it. And so my stretching is to be here for this call. And Maha, I have a sense that I may want to reschedule our call for later, but we'll talk about that later.
And it's it was just checking an assumption, okay?
Yeah, great example.
Just an example of checking assumptions. assumption.
Great example. So that's how the agreements work in all practicality, just in the same in the ways that we just did, and we've all owned this and bought into an agreement that says that these are some sick agreements that will, as it says on page 5, to that are here to keep us safe as we engage in the shadow work and learn to balance darkness and light. And with that, I enjoyed listening to the last session, and Paul, if you're listening on this one, your conversation and inquiry and the dialogue that you guys had back in that session. And I think that takes us into the fire wheels, given the description of the newsletter. And if one was looking at page 8 really is all 74 of these pages together. I mean, I hear Maha oftentimes say one page can be a book, and this one page is a book. So, and it's broken down when you look at the fractals in the middle. Those fractals in the middle really break this whole book down into its segments and the pieces. So when you see something there, all of that is discussed in the next 66 pages, speaking of six. But so how do you think it would be best to begin this evening, Maha, on page 8?
Well, you know, the first thing I'm noticing is we have 23 minutes left as per our agreement for this call, which this page would really need 45 minutes minimum. So, and deal with the level of disorder that is present in us having that little time and what that may mean to us personally. So I would say let's read the first paragraph and receive it. And then let's work, let's just, for now, let go of this beautiful image and just focus on what this first paragraph means in relationship to the disorder fractal and to what's written in red. So I wonder if someone would be willing to read that black, that first paragraph that is written in black.
Yeah, I'll read that. The
All right.
Expired wills drive me to fully releasing my will. They do so by organizing cutting-edge technologies of human development under the umbrella of the heartfelt structure of the soul as thought by cross-cultural religions, felt by mystics, and sensed by sciences.
So would you say that in your own words? What does that mean?
Give me a second. My throat is needs something. One second.
Sure.
Is that that clearing? Okay. The what it says in my own words is the expired wheels are whatever those are what will bring me to a place of understanding what it means to release my will. And the way it does it is through using all kinds of stuff, through whether it's through human development, psychology, structure of the soul, religion, cross-cultural science, stuff felt by mystics, whatever way it does it, it's going to integrate all of that in an organizing way to help me come to a place to release my will.
Yes. So take all the current technology of human developments like the most advanced, cutting-edge technology of human developments. All that's been existing that has had any influence on the understanding and the management of what it means to come to Earth and to be in the body and to develop consciousness. Take that and organize it through what can be called a hard cell structure of the soul, which goes back to the soul of perennial truth that you started us with. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that structure, to actually feel it and it vibrating in our heart, in our cells, it's been taught by cross-cultural religions. Like, for example, there is not one religion on the planet that does not say, thou shalt not judge.
Absolutely.
All right. And yet, when you have to believe, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that, or isn't that a judgment?
It sure is.
Okay. And that judgment, isn't that what messes up with your emotional body?
Yeah.
And that messed up emotional body, isn't that what drives you to acting insanely, doing the same thing, expecting different results?
Yes.
Okay. So there seems to be a place where the thinking, even though it's found in every religion, like the part of the thinking found in many religions is not felt inwardly as a truth. Would you agree to that?
Yes, I do.
Unless, of course, you're a mystic, like Tek Rumi, a Sufi mystic, or Jesus, a Jewish mystic, or Buddha, a Buddhist mystic, then those, they're no longer into their shoes, are they?
No.
They're a complete love. And those same truths, such as we are one, science gives us physical senses, evidence. We have the physical evidence, as per sciences, of the truth that the mystic felt and of the truth that the religion talk about. Science has proven it. Yet, does our evolution show it?
I would say no.
No. What about you, Glenn? Do you think that human development demonstrates the truth of religion, the proofs of science, and the modeling of mystics?
No.
No. How about you, Michael? Could you agree to the same question?
Yeah, up until now, there's been a mismatch between us.
Yeah, exactly. So this is what this nifty picture is about, which comprises all the mystic truth of every religion on the planet, every technology of human development, sciences, and the heartfelt sense of Gnostic. And we're not going to touch that now. But now what we're going to look at is, Emilio, do you have a die? So would you roll a die?
I rolled number 4.
All right. And Michael, what did you roll?
It's also a 4.
All right. And would one of you roll for Glenn?
I've got a dime.
All right. Wonderful.
Okay. I got a three.
All right. And I got five. So before we look at that, Glenn, do you have the book open?
Yes.
All right. Would you be willing to read the sentence in red that starts with on that note?
On that note, consider the paradox at the heart of communication. Organization is what supports my creativity. Creativity asks me to fully surrender to chaos or disorder.
Exactly. So let's stop a moment here. And that's a question to all of us. How is organization that which supports creativity? How does that work practically? And go like popcorn manner. How does organization support your creativity?
Well, for me, it allows a kind of a feng shui, an energy flow. It's just less distracting, and it's a lot freeing.
Yeah, exactly. So let's imagine that you're a chef, and your creativity is to create those amazing meals for the people that work in your restaurant. Okay.
Yep.
I mean, that come to your restaurant. Can you imagine that much?
Oh, yeah.
So let's imagine two chefs. One never cleans his pots and pans, and they're like all over the place with forks and knives, and it's like a giant mess in a kitchen, in a giant mess. That's one chef. The chef takes great care of all his instruments and keeps them in good standard, good tip-top shape. And when he needs a specific knife, he knows exactly where to find it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So which chef, I mean, it sounds like a stupid question, right?
Right.
But yet, which chef is best equipped to be free, to give his full heart to his creation without any negative energy, without frustration, without accident, without, you know, which one?
I would say the one that's organized.
Exactly. Now, it's very interesting, this thing of organization and creativity, because many creative people consider that they have to live in complete disorganization. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're confusing the second part, which is creativity asks me to fully surrender to chaos. They're confusing that. Because when I, is that going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. And there I must surrender. I can't have a plan. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. Glenn, does it make sense to you?
Yes.
All right. And Michael?
Yes, it does.
All right. So, Glenn, your level of disorder is to be controlling. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. So that's where you're limiting your organization and therefore your creativity.
Yes.
All right. All right. So how do you do this actually, I think we could look at the organization too. So do you see how the organization are the pillars? Do you see that?
How the organization is what?
If you look at the where there's disorder, number three is controlling, right?
Okay.
The other side of disorder is organization, like the last line.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there you have the pillar where I am controlling, let me get help from the pillars. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So would you read the line number 5 in the box, the one that starts with the pillars?
The pillars stand as the work in polarity of I am a woman and or I am a man.
Yes. So how does that touch you, Glenn, that you're controlling you're being a man and what's expected from being a man, like, for example, being a provider, that would be what's expected of the men's programming. Would you agree to that expectation?
Yes.
And how has it controlled your life, that expectation? Any point of understanding for you?
Yes. I know I've always been expected to be able to do well in my profession and earn a lot of money and to be able to provide a lot of material things. And I did not do it very well, or at least I didn't feel like I did, and I felt very inadequate.
Yeah, and in the beginning or at some part of the call, you said that you wanted peace, but that in reality you didn't always have it. Do you remember saying that?
Yeah, I've never really had peace of mind.
Right, and might that be connected to this story, I am a man, and the control issue that are connecting with that?
Yeah, I've always been very controlling.
Yes. So now, Glenn, when you look at the image to the right, do you see the blue circles?
Yes.
Okay. Now, those circles, call them chakra in Sanskrit. And, of course, in Hebrew, that's part of, like, the perennial truth, cross-cultural perennial truth. The Vedas and Hinduism has a tree of life, and so does Judaism. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
All right. In both tree of life, there are three pillars. Like a metal pillar, a right pillar, and a left pillar. It's just that in Hinduism, they're sort of crisscrossing in a different schematic than they are on the tree of life, on the Hebrew tree of life. But both trees have three pillars. Can you accept that?
Yes.
All right. So here is the Hebrew tree of life, to where the solar plexus chakra is the two blue circles at the bottom, just above. Like if you start at the bottom, you have a green sphere, which is the root. And then you have the sex chakra, and then the first two blue are the solar plexus. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then you go one more chakra, and you have a big yin yang, which is the heart chakra, like the complete center of the entire geometry, be it in the Hindu tree of life or in the Hebrew one. And then you have the throat chakra, which is also male and female. And then you have the third eye, which is also male and female. Okay. So that's where you try to control one side or another, you see. And you do that by not feeling your feelings, solar plexus, not deciding from a place of acceptance, but deciding out of resistance. That would be throat chakra. And instead of seeing goodness, in other words, regardless what is, there is no one side being good and the other side being bad. You always see goodness. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. So that's where it's yet to make sense to you. That's where the male and the female is separate in you. And that is the great advantage of the Hebrew tree of life, that it makes the identification to I am a woman, I am a man, very clear for us to understand and resolve. So, you know, I propose that you would have been the guinea pig, Glenn, for this exploration of the wheels and the realization of disorder and organization. How was that for you, Glenn? How was that exploration for you?
It was good.
Awesome. Awesome. So, Emilio, Michael, you know, I perceive we don't have time for our exploration of collecting and how the quatrains help you with the disorder of collecting, and for me, how the stages help with my obsessing. But hey, we can continue in another discussion, and especially as each section of this book is built on this fractal, so it's really a continued experience. So I leave it to you guys, Emilio, Michael, to complete our experience this evening.
Okay. I think that's right on point. And Glenn, thank you, too, for your comments and willingness to participate. And I'm feeling a question to ask you just for clarification and for you. Maha said, how was that for you? And you said it was good. And so I'm interested if you, what was good? What was good about it? I mean, what's the takeaway for you?
It just felt comforting for someone to explain that to me and to see that somebody else could understand what I'm experiencing.
Awesome. And it just sounds like it reinforces and brings clarity on something that you've been experiencing for a long time, and it's not just you alone that's been experiencing it. I experienced the same thing, and I'm sure at times Michael experienced it, Maha experienced, and there's many others that are listening to experiences. So thank you for allowing the clarity to come through your experience. Appreciate you. And Michael, when is the next Sunday segment coming up? When is that scheduled for?
Actually on the 27th, not this Sunday, but the following.
Okay, so on the 27th, so we'll pick back up from here. And Glenn, thank you, Maha, Michael, and those of you who were not able to be with us in form, thank you. And we look forward to being with you the next time, and that'll be on a Sunday, the 27th at 12 noon Eastern time, and that's on blogtalkradio.com/empoweringnow. And don't forget to visit empoweringnow.com and put your name in the tickler so that you keep up with the newsletter and so forth. And again, thank you very much. And Maha, I'll be talking to you soon. And Michael, rest well. Glenn, much love. It's always a pleasure to hear you. Good night.
Birds fly,
good night.
You know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me.